It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Coming up, the Steelers play the Browns this week in Cleveland. Our travel contributor, Elaine LaBalme, tells us why Cleveland is now a great destination. But first, every week we profile someone in our region who is making a difference in people's lives as part of 90.5 WESA Celebrates. Lawrenceville native and marketing specialist Deirdre Kane lived in Ireland a few years ago and worked at a diner where fresh food was all she knew.
I lived in Galway, and you really didn't have the big grocery stores. There was one, but most of them were small corner stores, small markets. As a short order cook in Ireland, we made everything fresh every day. So I worked at a diner, but sometimes I'd have to pluck some of the, feathers off of the wings before we made them because they were so fresh, just brought down from the local guys.
It was quite a contrast when she moved back to Lawrenceville and realized that she was living in a food desert, a neighborhood without ready access to fresh, healthy, affordable food. And she knew she had to do something about it.
The community-wide, we'd hear all the time, man, we wish we had some place to get some fresh local food, some fresh produce. Our young neighbors across the street would shop for food down at the gas station, would be the closest place that they would get food. The little food market inside the gas station.
Dora Walmsley, who works at the Pittsburgh Food Policy Council, moved to Lawrenceville 8 years ago and encountered the desert.
Not being able to walk to a grocery store where I can get, the variety of things that I want to cook is definitely frustrating. And so I think what was really lacking in our neighborhood was a diversity of food options. So there's a lot of vegetarians. We see a lot of people that are looking for gluten-free, soy-free kind of options, and it was really hard to find.
The women met while volunteering at the Lawrenceville Community Gardens 5 years ago, and they decided to team up and open a neighborhood market with fresh, healthy food. They found an old abandoned building on 52nd Street, and working around the clock after their day jobs, they opened the 52nd Street Market in March.
To make this happen, we did a crowdfunding campaign. We took personal loans out. We kind of just scraped together everything that we possibly could.
We get our fresh produce from local farms throughout western Pennsylvania, eastern Ohio. We're growing, and we're hoping to continue to make more relationships with other farmers.
They have also instilled some healthy eating habits with the youth in the neighborhood.
We try to encourage some of our little neighbor kids. Little kids didn't know what yogurt raisins are. Now they come in all the time wanting them.
We also have a good grade incentive program where if kids in the neighborhood show us an A, we'll give them the choice between an apple or a Twizzler. And I'm stoked to say that 100% of the kids that I've given that choice to have selected an apple.
Yeah, their passion for community is really strong. They're always doing something, not only for them to help the community itself, but to help the younger people in the community itself to understand about freshly grown vegetables.
Ron Shirilla has lived in Lawrenceville his entire life and frequents the 52nd Street Market almost every day.
It just made a world of difference of having these two girls open this place up, and it just changed the whole, outlook of the community.
We did it for us, and we did it because we wanted to have a strong community and retain that sense of community and retain that sense of neighbors helping neighbors, which is what makes Pittsburgh so great.
If you know someone who deserves recognition, nominate them to be featured at wesa.fm/difference.
90.5 WESA celebrates people making a difference is made possible by UPMC. More information available at upmc.com. UPMC, life-changing medicine.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It seems Cleveland's efforts to shed the image of the mistake by the lake are paying off. LeBron James has returned to the Cavaliers. The latest Captain America adventure was filmed in the city, and the GOP has selected it for the next Republican convention. Travel contributor Elaine LaBalme, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, is here to tell us why Cleveland rocks. New Girl, you rock. Welcome back.
Good to see you, Paul.
Our Steelers are going to do battle with the Browns this weekend, but win or lose, perish the thought of losing. Spending a weekend in Cleveland is a winning proposition, you say. Why?
You know, I do. Okay, I love Cleveland. Is it okay to say that in Pittsburgh?
You know, I think people are becoming more accepting of it. But I think the big question here is, I mean, this is the city that Rowan and Martin used to make, you know, fun of. Remember that on Laugh-In? And now it's the happening place. What happened here?
See, everything comes full circle. You know, they've done a lot of things right. First of all, they do have a great sports legacy. You know, okay, say what you will about the Browns and the Indians, but they've got LeBron back. They've got great facilities for their sports. They've got an amazing food scene. I mean, the East 4th Street Corridor. You've got Michael Simon, nationally renowned chef. You've got Jonathan Sawyer at the Greenhouse Tavern. So you've got a thriving food scene. You've got great neighborhoods. Ohio City, they've got their own little Italy. It's awesome. Arts, outdoors, things for families to do, great facilities. And it's just 2.5 hours, if that, from Pittsburgh. So you've got another, you know, burgeoning, really on the edge, getting into the big leagues again, hub right around in the corner from us. There's a lot to like in Cleveland. It makes for a great weekend getaway, not just during Steelers games, but anytime.
You know, I can't help but wonder if the schedulers knew in advance that this game was scheduled over Cleveland Beer Week. Clue us in here.
See, perfect timing. This is an event that takes place from October 10 to 18 this year. 350-plus craft beer tastings, dinners, demonstrations, specials at bars, restaurants, grocers throughout Cuyahoga County. Remember, this is Ohio. You can buy beer at your grocery store. But yeah, actually, Cleveland has a really nice beer legacy. You've got Great Lakes Brewing there, which is an awesome brewer. You've got Nano Brew in Ohio City. Talk about, like, it's not even craft brew, it's super micro craft brew. And the place is amazing. You've got Melt Bar and Grill that has 150 beers on the menu. Really neat stuff. So they, you know, when they say beer here at the games, they're talking Cleveland on the beer here thing. They really got the beer thing going.
Okay. Well, you know, and a visit to Cleveland seems incomplete without a stop at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What is on tap, pardon the pun, right now?
All right, I'll tell you what's up right now. I hope you're a fan of Beyoncé, because they have items from her personal collection in a big exhibit right now. They've got the sort of, what would you call it, like, bodysuit thing she wore during the Super Bowl halftime show last year. It's probably emblazoned in your brain, right, Paul?
I remember.
Well,
I
there
do
you
remember.
Go.
What about anything from Austin Powers 3?
You know, not sure, but what she wore in the Single Ladies video, Single Ladies Put a Ring on It, what she wore in the Crazy in Love video. And, I mean, she tends to wear sort of the same getup every time. It's a very fitted little bodysuit that emphasizes her long legs. So you've got the Bey collection going on over there. You've also got another cool exhibit called Right Here, Right Now, which is highlighting a lot of contemporary artists who are chart toppers right now. So the Black Keys, Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Rihanna. Now, what I don't want you to forget, though, anyone, about the Rock Hall is that their permanent collection is worth a visit every time out. It is so exhaustive. There are so many, you know, gems there from just about everyone through the history of rock and roll that even if there wasn't a really awesome exhibit or two, new exhibit, special exhibit going on right now, I'd still want you to go into the Rock Hall, because I don't believe that anyone has seen every single thing in it. The place is just too big and there's too much going on. It's a can't miss.
And there's one more must stop on your list for this particular football pilgrimage.
Can you guess?
Let's see. I'm not sure.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame, just down the road in Canton.
Well, see, that was a trick question, because it's not actually in Cleveland.
It's not actually in Cleveland, but I think Canton's about an hour away. And actually, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is the dearest place. I've been there a couple of times. And it was in somewhat of a time warp, you know. It was a rather older facilities. It hadn't been updated, but they underwent a capital campaign several years ago, and they now have completed two brand new galleries. They're called Pro Football Today and Moments, Memories, and Mementos. And I actually did visit one of the new galleries on my last visit, and they've done a really nice job with it. But this is another place that, just seeing the permanent collection, just seeing all the rings of every team that's won a Super Bowl, the busts of all the players that have been enshrined in the Hall of Fame, the first football thrown in, the first, you know, pigskin and whatnot, the permanent collection alone is very, very impressive. And then now they've got it in a more interactive, more engaging setting. So I think if you're going to go spend the weekend there, take an hour to drive down there, figure on spending at least a couple of hours there, filled with riches.
My favorite thing is that medieval contraption that it's the ball warmer from years gone by.
See, I don't remember that one, and I've been there twice.
You have to go and
see
that.
I need to go back.
The ball warmer.
There you go.
We're talking with Elaine LaBalme, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. And, you know, we never do a segment without talking about food. There are some new spots, apparently, both inside and outside of the stadium in Cleveland. I'm hungry already.
Well, you see, it's lunchtime. That's what's happening. Okay, a couple of new spots that I like. One's called Butcher and the Brewer. Communal tables, shared plates, a lot of charcuterie. They also have an on-site brewery. That one's in the East 4th Street corridor, which is a pedestrian-only street downtown that has some of the best restaurants in Cleveland. But you're going to get some pretty heavy food there. So if you feel like you need to cleanse a bit, then you go to Town Hall in Ohio City. Juice bar, espresso bar. They've got a full-service dining room. They've got a dog-friendly patio if you bring your pooch with you to the game. But they're not all that clean. They also do spiked milkshakes, and they have an amazing whiskey menu. So I really like both Butcher and the Brewer in Town Hall right now. Now, in the stadium, celebrity chef Michael Simon, Jonathan Sawyer, both have opened spots in the stadium this year. Simon's B Spot, which is where he does his burgers, is there. Whalen's Great Lakes Cheesesteaks also open. And Jonathan Sawyer is doing a little steak-free place. And so Sawyer's Sausage and Peppers, that's a mouthful. But I love these guys, Simon Sawyer. These are good, good, talented chefs, do great food. And they have this kind of stuff in a football stadium.
The evolution of food at stadiums is incredible.
It's a good thing, though, Paul.
Oh, no doubt. A very good thing. And last but not least, if Harvey Pekar doesn't have room at his place, where are we staying?
Here's where I would stay. The Metropolitan at the Nine. It's a new spot that has not only an underground speakeasy, but a rooftop patio as well. So they got it covered on both sides. It's one of these boutique hotels that also has an art gallery inside. It's the new cool spot in Cleveland. But hey, giving, you know, Cleveland a little bit of cool factor. I like that.
I didn't know that I would ever live to see the day where Cleveland and cool are mentioned in the same sentence.
There you go. And if it's booked, which it may be, but you know, maybe you'll get lucky, get a cancellation. The Westin in downtown Cleveland just underwent a $70 million, we can't even call it a renovation because it's a transformation at this point. So that property has been completely reborn. So you got two really good options there to rest your weary head after Cleveland Beer Week.
You'll get to see Johnny Manziel this weekend, but he may be sitting on the bench. But he'll be there.
Well, there you go. And we're rooting for Big Ben, aren't we?
Of course.
There you go.
Elaine LaBalme tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle, New Girl in Town, easy for me to say. And joining us as our travel contributor on Cleveland, Elaine, as always, great thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any part of the program or would like to revisit a past segment, go to our website, wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.